This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, so today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be speaking about the people of Jannah in their internal dialogue, what they're saying to themselves, and the people of Hellfire in their internal dialogue, what they're saying to themselves. And then we're going to be speaking our final category, which is the people of Paradise, the people of Jannah, speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statements to the people of Hellfire. So the people of Jannah speaking with themselves, to begin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many of the verses where Ahlul Jannah, the people of Jannah, are describing their internal dialogue, you'll see the statement of Alhamdulillah coming up again and again and again. And as someone said that, subhanAllah, that the people of Jannah, this is their characteristic when they go to Jannah, they're always saying Alhamdulillah. Every time something comes, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah, it's interesting, it's just kind of like a side note, I'm not really sure if it applies here. But there's a dua you say when someone has a child, right? It's not a sunnah dua, but it's one of like the tabi'een, they say this dua and so on. And the dua goes, when someone has a child, وَشَكَرْتَ الْوَاهِبِ وَشَكَرْتَ الْوَاهِبِ, which basically translates as, may your child be a means of you thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, subhanAllah, may your child be a means of thanking Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a child, either you have a child or inshallah ta'ala one day you'll have a child, even the smallest like kicks of the child, even the smallest kicks, say in the mother's womb, you feel the kick of the child, and this is like one of the most amazing experiences you could ever have. And you say, Alhamdulillah, right? When the nurse says, oh, you know what, wife is expecting, father puts his hand, or the mother puts a hand, or the father and mother are saying, look at the movement of the child. Just the little kick. And now that's just in the womb, just a movement of the hand or a kick of the foot. Now as they grow up, if you have children, every day they're doing things, and you're saying, Alhamdulillah. Every day they do something new, or they say something cute, or you're saying, Alhamdulillah. And sometimes other people don't think your kids are cute, right? But you think, they're your child, they're cute. And you're always saying, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And now, understanding that, now you look at the people of Jannah, and you very easily you'll understand why they're always saying, Alhamdulillah. Every time they experience something in Jannah, they see something, they do something, they're walking in, their statement internally is always, Alhamdulillah. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, in certain verses, what they're saying Alhamdulillah for. And so we'll mention one of those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَا اللَّهِ لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَنُودُوا أَنْ تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا. So they're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mah that they have of Islam. The ni'mah of Islam. And so whenever you feel sad, just remember that Allah blessed you with Islam. And if that's the only blessing that you have, then it's enough as a blessing. I remember once some brothers in Bosnia, and they were discussing, you know, obviously the test that the brothers and sisters went through and so on and so forth. And this brother, he was commenting, this is in Bosnia, and he said, Alhamdulillah that Allah guided us to Islam. For no matter what happens in life, and no matter what pain we go through, that nothing can compare to this guidance of Islam. And we will suffer what we will suffer, and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guided us to Islam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance has been sent. Now you might think to yourself, oh, we're the only ones who are guided. The kuffar weren't guided. But now we go to the people of hellfire. What are the angels saying to them every time they enter into hellfire? أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Didn't a messenger come to you? Now, there's always this debate of what about people whom, no messenger was ever sent. In fact, this is, subhanAllah, this is the statement the angels say to the people of hellfire. Didn't a messenger come to you? Does anybody go there and say, no, I never heard of any messenger? That's never the statement of the people of hellfire. قَالُوا بَلَى. They say, yes, indeed the messengers came. And so to everybody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers, sent the books, sent the reminders, the internal GPS, the qalb to guide the person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet they insisted on disobeying Allah azza wa jalla. And now we look at the people of hellfire. The people of hellfire, in many of the verses speaking, we spoke last week about... We spoke last week about the people of hellfire and how they lose hope. First, in the beginning, they were like, you know, turn us around, let us go back to the dunya. And they were calling to Allah. And then they lost hope in that. And then they started calling upon the believers. So we saw even examples of they're telling the believers, don't go, you know, we won't have any light and so on and so forth. Then they're calling upon the gatekeepers of hellfire. You know, show us some love or show us some mercy and so on and so forth. And they got to the point where they lowered their standards so much that they said, if only the punishment can be lightened for a portion of the day. And even in that situation, they're abandoned. And the angels say to them after, you know, they don't get immediate responses after, you know, Allah knows best of how long it'll be, thousands and thousands of years before they get a reply. It will be said to them, didn't a messenger come to you? And they'll say, bala, yes, a messenger did. Then you make dua as much as you want because it'll avail you nothing. It's worth nothing. So now here, because we're talking about the internal dialogue is kind of like the beginning of their stages. When they first are shocked in the punishment of hellfire, they're actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a second chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about when the books come down. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ And this is the book, we spoke about this last week, when the book will either come in the right, or it'll come in the left. And we said about the person, the believer who gets the book in their right, and they're saying, هَاُمُ قُرَأُوا كِتَابِيَ They're so happy, they want everybody to see what's in their books. Now we're looking at the mujrim, the criminal, who gets the book in their left hand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and protect me. And we said that we take these verses, we put ourselves in the first person and see that if this verse, if it applies to us, we back away from this and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا In this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ That the books are placed before them. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ That the mujrims, the criminal, they're very scared of what's in this book. وَيَقُولُونَ And they say, Ya waylatana, woe to us. Woe to us is like saying, may we be damned. May we be cursed. May we be destroyed. They're saying to themselves, we're worthless. Waylatana, ma li hadha al-kitab la yughadiru saghiratan wa la kabiratan illa ahsaha. What's wrong with this book? It hasn't left anything, whether big or small, except that it has, ahsaha is actually, it has calculated it. Ihsa is like calculations. Everything, big or small, has been calculated. And now if you think to yourself, what did you eat last week for lunch on Wednesday? Okay, so you think, what did you eat last week for lunch on Wednesday? You're like, I don't know. What did you say at lunchtime on Wednesday last week? You're like, no idea. Now, what did you say last week on Wednesday at, 7:57 p.m.? It's been recorded. And it's been logged in. So, you know what's interesting is that there's an example of this logging. It's like, if you're ever chatting, MSN chat or Google chat or whatever it is, it says, would you like a copy of this chat? And you're like, hell no, I don't want no copy of that. Right? You don't want a copy of it. It's recording everything. And then when you actually see that, if you try printing it, you'd get like, you know, 8 pages of just worthlessness. Just like, just talking. And that's just a few minutes of conversation. And it's been logged. And everything's recorded. And subhanAllah, I mean, the internet is becoming this way that every email is being recorded now, right? If it's on the internet for 1 minute, it's logged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that logging system. It's much more than the internet. It's the good intentions, it's you know, all of these things that are happening. And the mujrim cannot say that, oh, I didn't do this. In fact, everything is recorded in that book. And so a person, subhanAllah, remember that when you do istighfar, you're hoping and you're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will be wiped away. Correct? The logging of this book. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ghfirli, you know that, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. Or in another situation, that actually have the bad deeds turned into good deeds. So that when the log is read into, you'll actually see good deeds there. And that is tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَتْبِعْ سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. He said, and follow up the bad deeds with good deeds. And it will wipe it away. Right? And so consistently we're keeping in mind this book and what's being recorded in it. The less you speak, the higher chances you have of not getting the wrong things written into that book. And so amongst, you know, the righteous people, they'll say that there were some amongst them that used to count their words. They used to count how many words they speak. Obviously, I mean, this is like an exaggeration, not saying count your words, every single word, but it's letting you know that they were taking account of how much they were speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse,
وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى, and if only you could see, إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ, when they're standing and they're set before the hellfire. And in fact, in another verse, it said to them, when they're right there on hellfire, it said to them, أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. Isn't this the truth? Now these people, they disbelieved in hellfire their whole life. Any sign, everything, they kept saying, no, it's not true, no, it's not true, no, it's not true. SubhanAllah, they're like scientists, right? They need to touch it in order to believe in it. So when they get to hellfire, it said to them, now isn't this the truth? Now what's is there any benefit to disbelieving in that? They can feel it, you feel the hellfire and so on. أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ, they say, بَلَا وَرَبِّنَا, yes, by our Lord, this is the truth. Okay, it's slightly a little too late, right? قَالَ فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so then taste the punishment because of what you disbelieve. And so at that point, obviously the person, everybody who goes to hellfire, now they're believing in hellfire, but at that point, they need to go back to the, they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is, ya laytana. And it's interesting, the word layta. Layta is something that, oh, I wish. Remember we were talking about wishful thinking? Layta. Oh, I wish I could go back. Ya laytana nuraddu. That we would be returned back. Wa la nukadhiba bi ayati rabbina. And that we would never say about any of the verses that it's a lie. Wa nakuna min al-mu'minin. And that we would be amongst the believers. Ya layta. Which is just wishful thinking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people of Jannah. Because the people of Jannah, in the verse that we mentioned before, it said, when they say Alhamdulillah in paradise, they say, لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ. They say, indeed, the messengers of our Lord came with the truth. So the messengers came to everybody, and the believers are so happy that they believed in the messengers. لَقَدْ جَاءَتُ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهِ.
Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they're saying, Alhamdulillah, that Allah fulfilled His promise to us. صدقنا. He was truthful to what he promised us. صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين. So they're so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled what He had promised to them. And when you see subhanAllah the conversation between paradise and hellfire, they're saying to the people of hellfire, لقد وجدنا ما وعدنا ربنا حقا فهل وجدتم ما وعد ربكم حقا. They said, we found what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to be the truth. Have you found what Allah told you to be the truth? And then they say in response, قَالُوا نَعَمْ. But what a difference between, you know, what these people believed in the dunya and what these people disbelieved in. In Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that there's no, we were talking about it in Jannah, there are certain things such as death or sickness. In the dunya, there could be no paradise on earth. We spoke about this. So now in paradise, you could be in Jannah, but then someone will say, what if, you know, so-and-so, XYZ person is in paradise, they're going to mess up my paradise. I wish they weren't there. And there's a really interesting story about this. There's this woman, you know how husband and wife, they're always like, you know, they're bickering with one another, and the guy's like, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice my dunya just for the kids to be with this woman. So, you know what I'm talking about, right? So it's like in the hereafter. So this guy's only hope is like, you know what, because of the children, I'm just sticking with this lady. It's like, you know, I was going to say hell on earth, but it's not hell on earth. And so as the days go by and so on and so forth, one day he's sitting with this lady, his wife. And then she says to him, she's smiling. All of a sudden she just starts smiling. And whenever he sees her smiling, he's like, she's plotting something. Right? So he's like, what are you smiling at? And so she says to him, I'm thinking of Jannah and how I'll be with you forever and ever in Jannah. And then he says in response, and obviously this is a misunderstanding people have of Jannah. He says to her, there's no way I'm going to Jannah with you. Right? It's just this dunya, and then after that, you know, you have your cycle, forget that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this could be a concern that someone has, right? And believe me, this concern comes up. They're like, what if I'm in Jannah and my husband, you know, he's not with me. What if he's running around in Jannah? I don't know where he is. And so on. And so you people, you know, think they apply their map of the dunya to Jannah. They apply all their limitations of the, you know, they're like, they take the map of what the dunya is like and then they apply it to Jannah. In fact, as the Prophet ﷺ, like one of the companions asked him, companions, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they loved camels. Do you guys love camels? No, you love BMWs and Mercedes and, you know, red hot Lamborghinis and so on. So you don't care that much about camels, correct? Okay. And probably in the future, people will laugh at you that you even like cars. And so this companion, he loved camels so much. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, in Jannah are there red she camels? He's like, can we ride camels in Jannah? Right? This is his, like, the highest level he has of what's like the most amazing riding animal. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمَرِ النِّعَمِ. He said, if you're able to guide one person to Islam, it's better for you than the red she camel. It's better for you, and in another hadith, it's better, so that those of you who don't understand what a red she camel, what it means, it's better for you than the dunya and everything in it. All the treasures of the dunya, if one person can be guided at your hand, it's better for you than that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassuring those people who are afraid of this thing, about going to Jannah and worrying about, oh, someone's talking and someone's, you know, doing this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, دعواهم فيها. They're constantly saying in Jannah, سبحانك اللهم, right? سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم, and their salutations amongst each other is salam, is peace. Right? It's peace amongst peace with everybody there. So there's no backbiting, there's no vain talk, there's no, you know, foolish talking and so on and so forth. It's all salam, salam amongst the people. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically says, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا. Where no lahu, right? That's like dirty, false, evil, vain talk. All of the above. There's no lahu in Jannah. لا يسمعنا. You'll never hear it. لغوًا ولا تأثيما. Nor any sinful speech. Sinful speech is like backbiting. Nobody's going to say, oh, did you see so-and-so? Did you see what they got in Jannah? We didn't get that. There's none of that talk. إلا قيلًا سلامًا سلامًا. It is only سلامًا سلامًا. Peace, peace. It is, and we spoke about that last week as well, that how you love, there's certain people that you have this tranquility just in speaking with them. Right? In this dunya, and that's just giving you a little glimpse of, in Jannah, there will be people, everybody there in Jannah, that this is the way the speech will be. That all of it, and speech, subhanAllah, it reminds me of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he got old, he said there's only, you know, a few things that he loves of the dunya, and one of them that he said is being with like his righteous brothers. That's one of the sweetnesses of the dunya. That when you're with righteous people, and sometimes, subhanAllah, we don't have too many friends like that. I know, even as my, you know, you're trying to search, you know, who do we know like this, and you're trying to think of, oh, this person. There's not too many people like that. But when you find someone like that, subhanAllah, I've had experiences where there's people of knowledge, like ulama. Ulama that, the type of ulama that can give fatwa. That someone asks a question, they're not necessarily just quoting other people. They're not themselves just quoting other people, but they have the ability to do ijtihad themselves. And you're sitting with them, and the reassurance that you have, a person of knowledge, someone speaking, and the guidance that they're coming with, subhanAllah, there's just peace and tranquility being with a person like that. In one of the verses, and this verse actually has always been, I've always thought about this verse, and here in this lecture tonight, inshallah ta'ala, I actually did a little bit more research on it. The people of Jannah, they say alhamdulillah, but one of the verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ الَّذِي أَحَلَّنَا دَارَ الْمُقَامَةِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَا يَمَسُّنَا فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَلَا يَمَسُّنَا فِيهَا لُغُوبٌ. You know, here's a side lesson. We were actually in Medina one time, and this guy came and started drilling on the door in the middle of class. And everybody that looked at the guy who was drilling on the door got detention. Okay, so anybody looks at that guy there, and you're in big trouble. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's like, everybody's like, what's he doing? What's he doing? Just forget it. It's not a big deal. Or the other people, every time someone walks in, they're looking at them. Like, what are you learning while the person's walking in? Right? Every time someone walks in, they're like, they're looking at him like that. And everybody's distracted, someone walked in. Like, subhanAllah, like you're, whenever that happens, just refocus and say to yourself, and focus on what you're doing. Once you're doing that, you know, those things, they disappear. They disappear. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. Hazan is like distress or grief. And so now the question is, are the people of Jannah, are they characterized? This is the question I have. Are they characterized as depressed people in the dunya? Because they're saying in Jannah, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. So is it like, if a sign of belief is that you must be depressed in the dunya, right? Which is not true. And that's why I'm saying it's an interesting verse to discuss here. The verse, actually, these two verses, وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. The verse before it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the blessing of Jannah. يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَلُؤْلُؤَ وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will be clothed and garmented in gold and pearls, and their clothing therein will be silk. وَلِبَاسٌ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ. It's interesting how this is the material side of Jannah, correct? So a person in the dunya, if they're wearing silk, is it possible that they're wearing silk but yet they're sad on the inside? Is it possible in the dunya? And of course it is possible, right? We know many people, they could be living, just because someone lives in the biggest house, does that mean that they are the most happiest? And the answer is obviously not, right? They might be going through the biggest divorce. And not necessarily the person who lives in a shack is the happiest person either. In fact, in the dunya, the materials are not reflective of whether a person is happy or not. It doesn't reflect that. In fact, you find people who've made like hundreds of millions of dollars in one day and ask them, for how long were you happy after that? They were like about, 10 minutes. Honestly, like 10 minutes. Or if one person makes $30 million one year, makes $50 million, he made the next year, made a difference of $20 million, ask them, are you any happier this year? They're like, no, not necessarily. So it's not a reflection, but someone could look at Jannah and say, well, they have gardens, yeah, they have silk, yeah, they have gold, but they're sad and depressed. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's from the material side of things. The verse after that is, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. There's no sadness. And so externally, they are in Jannah. And internally, they are in Jannah. On both sides. They are in Jannah externally and internally. So what's meant by hazan here? So in the tafsir, Ibn Abi Hatim, it's narrated on Ibn Atiyah radiyallahu anhu fi qawli alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna alhazan qala aljoo'. He said hunger. And that's interesting. What is hazan? It's hunger. And I'll explain it. In another one, akhraja Ibn Abi Hatim an al-Sha'bi radiyallahu anhu fi qawli alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna alhazan qala talab alkhubzi fi ad-dunya fala nahtamma lahu kahtimamina lahu fi ad-dunya talab alghada'i wal-'asha. So in dunya, basically what this hazan is, this sadness, they translated as sadness, but it basically is, what do we call it in English? Running after your daily bread? Is that what you call it? A person, they have to, I have to work just to provide, the daily bread for my family. So a person day in, day out, they're working and they're going to work. Maybe they don't like their job or something like that. Why are you going to job? Because you have to provide bread for your family and bread for yourself. It's kind of like the sadness that you're in. Job dissatisfaction, right? A person just daily, you have to eat, you have to go and do your work and come back. And just in the dunya, even this thing about financial freedom, personal thing, so I never have to work. I never have to think about providing for my family or providing for myself. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for this sadness. They're looking for the sadness to come to an end. But in fact, even in the dunya, when you get all this money, there's still, you have to defend that money or the taxes or other things or invest it and so on and so forth. But truly, that running after the chasing and the working, it comes to an end truly when a person enters into Jannah. And so as Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, his son, there was all this fitna that was going on at the time of Imam Ahmad and tests. And so his son says to him, SubhanAllah, it's interesting that we're always looking for this in the dunya. His son says to him, Mata raha? When will we be able to relax? When does relaxation come? And I ask you this question, when does relaxation come? For most people, we are trained and we are taught that relaxation comes when? When we retire. That's what we're trained here, isn't that correct? And so everybody works towards the relaxation day. How many people are retired and they come in here like, woo, I'm retired? It's usually a day of sadness, correct? They're like, I'm retired, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they start coming to the masjid and like, what are you doing here? Alhamdulillah, I retired. I know. This is what they're teaching us. SubhanAllah, I've noticed that every time someone tells you to save money and to invest money and so on and so forth, they always talk about retirement. They always talk like the whole purpose of your life is the retirement. And you're always thinking, whenever someone tells you to take a riba mortgage, what do they tell you as justification to get a riba mortgage? What are they saying to you? They're like, what are you going to do when you retire? like the ultimate, that's like our Jannah on earth, is that retirement, those 5 years before we die, if we live till then. It's like, you're going to have to pay rent at that time if you don't take riba now. You're going to have to pay rent for 5 years if you don't pay riba now. And the focus is just this retirement, retirement, retirement. SubhanAllah, and someone even said like, look, you spend all your youth, all your shabab, even there's like another group saying, why don't we live Jannah on earth when we're young? Paradise on earth. And even those people are searching that out. They try making money so they can run off to Hawaii and so on and so forth. They get sick, they get depressed, they're with some woman or some man that's making trouble for them, and you know, they get hepatitis B and this and that. There's no Jannah on earth for them. And so where does the raha come? Imam Ahmad rahimahullah understood this. He said to his son, بِأَوَّلِ خُطْوَةٍ نَخْطُوهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He said, true relaxation is with the first step that we enter into Jannah. There's no return ticket. You don't have to go back. There's no emails waiting for you. There's none of that. You enter into Jannah, خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتٌ. That there's eternity and you will not die. And that's it. Your enjoyment in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter us into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and actually just on that point, so the non-Muslims and Muslims who are like following in the footsteps, may Allah protect us, they have this thing about achievement and fulfillment. Achievement, a lot of non-Muslims and Muslims too will achieve things in the dunya, but they're not fulfilled internally. So they're always talking about, oh, the people that make all this thing in the dunya, but internally they're not happy. And so this issue of happiness, go to the bookstores and you'll find book after book trying to discover this issue of happiness. Trying to discover this issue of happiness. And so they don't get it. And so the people of Jannah, وَقَالُ الْحَمْدُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّؤُوا مِنَّا كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And we spoke about this last week, how one group will disassociate themselves from the other group. We spoke about the conversation, very intellectual conversation that they have, and they're blaming and they're going back and forth. Whose fault is it and who's to blame? And it avails them nothing. It's just, it increases them in their regret and their anger. The people that misguided them are there. The leaders and the followers, they're both in hellfire. And so the followers, we said that their tendency is always to blame the leaders for their misguidance, but they're in hellfire too. And the leaders, you know, just because they led in this dunya doesn't mean that they're saved in here. They're both in hellfire. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, those who followed, these are the followers. لَوْ أَنَّ, this is their regret and their hasra. They're like, they're just cutting themselves up internally. So punishment of hellfire is not only external punishment, it's internal punishment as well. They're saying, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّ. If we only had an opportunity to go back, which is not happening, but if only we had it, فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. So that we would disassociate ourselves, we'd have nothing to do with them, with the strongest language that we would cut ourselves off of them, out of the leaders, كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. In the exact same way that they cut us off. So we were speaking about how shaitan, he says, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Right? Don't blame me and blame yourselves. And they said, we wish we could go back to the dunya so that we could say that to shaitan. We have nothing to do with you. Just the same way shaitan's going to cut us off, let's cut him off back in the dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ, in this way, يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. In this way, Allah shows to them their actions as a regret for them. Hasarat. It's not a hasra, it's not one. It's a consistent regret upon regret upon them internally. They're punished themselves. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ And it avails them nothing. They're not going to be leaving hellfire in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses,
وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ هَلْ يَنْصُرُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا هُمْ وَالْغَاوُونَ وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ قالوا وهم فيها يختصمون تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين وما أضلنا إلا المجرمون فما لنا من شافعين ولا صديق حميم فلو أن لنا كرة فنكون من المؤمنين إن في ذلك لآية وما كان أكثرهم مؤمنين وإن ربك لهو العزيز الرحيم.
This verse, these verses are long, subhanAllah, it's almost like the journal entry of the people who enter hellfire. And you need to pay attention to this. Remember we said as well that the lesson that we learn from this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what the people of hellfire will say. And now there's no excuse, you can't go to hellfire and say these same words, it's going to be regret upon you. And upon me if we enter hellfire, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Because we knew this, it's like you're going to say it, and you knew you were going to say it. You know that in the dunya you were reminded of this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ The hellfire is placed in full view. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ What were the gods that you worshipped besides Allah? هَلْ يَنْصُرُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ The gods that you worship besides Allah, هَلْ يَنْصُرُونَكُمْ Can they help them? Can they help you? أَوْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ Or can they even help themselves? And now, and remember we were talking in the last halaqah about how the people in the dunya, whenever you're following someone, right, whether you're going to follow a scientist and make him the pinnacle of your beliefs, let's say, for example, like Darwin, or you're going to follow some spokesperson on TV, whether they're, from this background or that background, whatever it is, in the hereafter, you better hope that they have enough power to save you from hellfire. Because if you're following them and they're taking away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be said to them, it will be said to you, هَلْ يَنْصُرُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ Where are they now? And in fact, those people that you would have followed in the dunya, in the hereafter, you might go to them and say, can't you help us? We followed you in the dunya, you wrote these great books, we saw you on CNN and stuff like that, and we really agreed with what you said, can you hook us up with something here in hellfire? What are they going to say? We read it in the verses. They'll say, we have nothing to do with you. Right? You're a criminal. You're the one, we didn't force you to do anything, you're the one who's misguided. All these verses that'll say it. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا هُمْ وَالْغَاوُونَ They'll be thrown headlong into the fire, and those straying in evil. فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا هُمْ وَالْغَاوُونَ وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ Junood are actually the infantry or the army of Iblis will be thrown in hellfire. Iblis has an army and it is a battle. Right? And there's a lecture I did when wolves become shepherds about Iblis and so on. Iblis has his army. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they'll be thrown in hellfire and the evil people and the army of Iblis will be thrown into hellfire. وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ قَالُوا They will say there while in their mutual bickerings. It's not only that the followers are bickering, but the leaders are bickering too. Everybody's bickering with one another. قَالُوا وَهُمْ فِيهَا يَخْتَصِمُونَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ By Allah, we were truly in manifest error. We were truly wrong. We're truly wrong. Now, what's it going to benefit them now that they're saying this? They're in hellfire and now they're saying, we were wrong. Boy, were we wrong. By Allah, we were wrong. We swear by Allah we were wrong. تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When we made you as equals with the Lord of the worlds, رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Meaning that this is the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the laws belong to Allah, the commanding, the forbidding, it belongs to Allah azza wa jal. They took human beings and scientists and entertainers and all of this stuff, and they put them in the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they placed them in that same position, and then they followed them. وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمُونَ وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا. And we weren't misguided with anyone except the criminals. فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ. We were speaking about the people of hellfire and how they don't have, I mentioned that there's no conversations with their family members. Right, I said maybe in the dunya, Ibrahim with his father, or Nuh alayhi salam with his father, alayhi salam, but not in the hereafter, not in hellfire. There's no conversation where you see a person of hellfire talking to a family member. That would be mercy for them, that they would actually get to communicate with a family member. They said, فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ. There's no interceder. It's like when a person's thrown into jail, there's nobody calling on this person, there's no phone call, there's nothing. There's nobody that cares about the person. They're forgotten, and that's it. فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ. And we have no friend to feel for us. Nobody even feels sad that we're here. SubhanAllah, even in, like, if a person's in prison, they might feel reassurance that, oh, you know, I have a husband, I have a wife that cares for me being here. And the people of hellfire are saying, وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ. There is no friend that cares for us, that is actually feeling for us being here. Nobody cares. وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ. فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And if only we had a return, that we would be amongst the believers. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about, it's a verse that's actually frequently mentioned in the khutbahs. I always say this, in our khutbahs, in our lectures, there's about 5 verses that are repeated again and again and again. And usually, I'll give you this example, and they're deep in meaning, no doubt, but usually our community, it's like these 5 verses, and we don't go very much beyond these 5 verses, even though there's so much in the Quran for us to benefit from. One of those verses is, what's one of those verses? وَمَكَرُ وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And you'll be like, even if you don't understand Arabic, you've heard that before, correct? Another verse that you've heard of before is, "ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن." Okay? Let me introduce you to another verse that is frequently mentioned in our khutbas, in our speeches. Many of you are familiar with it, some of you maybe the first time, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. This verse is قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ. Say, O my servants, O my slaves, يَا عِبَادِيَ, those who have transgressed against themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the all-forgiving, most merciful. Now this verse, it's usually the person who's speaking stops there. Now it's totally taken out of context if you stop there. And in fact, the verses that I have are the verses that come after that verse, are the conversation of the people of hellfire, which is very significant for people to understand. Because if you just say, "Oh my servants who have transgressed, don't worry about it. Allah forgive everything." And then that's the end, you know, full stop. What does that mean? So it's like, okay, you're dealing in alcohol, you're dealing in riba, you know, committing sins, not doing your salah, you know, you have issues all throughout your deen, and then it's like, it's all good. Obviously, that's not what's meant, and you understand the meaning fully when you continue reading the verse. وَأَنِيبُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. And turn back to your Lord. The next verse right after that is, turn back to your Lord, to your Lord, وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ, and submit to Him. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ, before the punishment comes to you. That's how you get the forgiveness, is turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submitting to Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse after that, أَنْ تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَةَ عَلَى مَا فَرَّطْتُ فِي جَنْبِ اللَّهِ. And I'll read these verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَن تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَةَ عَلَى مَا فَرَّطْتُ فِي جَنْبِ اللَّهِ وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ المحسنين بلى قد جاءتك آياتي فكذبت بها واستكبرت وكنت من الكافرين. In explaining these verses, an incident happened to me which I think inshallah ta'ala will really help you understand these verses more inshallah. It's Tafsir Ibn Hilmi. That's me. When I was in Islamic school, I had this thing where when I go into the into class, I'd write on the board. You know how usually people, they write the students that were bad, right? So they'll say detention. And this is a point of significance for the child. So I'm not going to make the child who's bad significant. Instead, I would like to make the children that are good significant. So I would go on the board and I would write the good students. And then I would write the names of the students. Obviously, it's very hard to write all the names of the students as soon as you go into the classroom. So what I would do is, I just put like the whole class. I just write that on the board and make a list. And then, I would put another list beside it called the going to be good students. Like in the process of being good students. The soon to be good students. And then if anybody got their name on the board, you know, they're acting bad. This is my detention type of list. So, you know, this kid's acting bad. I won't mention any names. Let's suppose his name is John or something like that, right? I don't want to use any Muslim. You put John's up there on the board. Okay, John's been acting bad. And then, so what I would tell the kids is that if you're still acting bad, you get one X. Or one, you know, star beside your name. If you're still acting bad, you get two stars. If you get three stars, you get an automatic letter home. And I had them pre-written. So it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear parents of, and there's a blank line, I'll just write his name in there. And the whole letter is, you know, your son is acting bad today, blah, 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 you know, this and that. And I might even have a spot that has like, you know, the specifics of what he did. And then the bottom piece has like, you know, those coupon things, right? I said, this bottom part of the letter, your parents have to sign it. You cut it out, they sign it, and you bring it back the next day. They have to. So now what's a child going to say when you do that to a child? If the parent, if I just gave this to the child, what's he going to do? Is he going to give it to his parents? No, he's not. He's not going to do it maliciously. He will obviously come up with certain excuses. What will the child come with as an excuse? What do you think the child will come as an excuse? Next day. Where's the paper? The child says, okay, I lost it. He lost it. Okay, that's great. What else would he say? What's that? Okay, they don't have dogs, okay, so they lost it. What? No, we're talking about Islamic school teachers. What is your common responses? Yes? What's that? Your rabbit ate it? Okay, that's what you watched on TV. Okay, stop watching TV. Someone else? What do they say? Yes? All the young guys here know what the answer is. Yes, brother? What excuse do you normally give to your Islamic school teacher? You forgot it. Excellent. So one excuse is, I lost it. The other one, oh, subhanAllah teacher, I forgot. Isn't that a beautiful excuse? What's the third excuse? Third excuse is, they'll come back and they'll say, the parent has to sign it. So what? My parents forgot to sign it. SubhanAllah, I gave it to them. And they forgot to sign it. It's their fault. Right? So parents forgot. And then they might say, oh, I was busy and we didn't get a chance, blah, blah. So, when I give the letter to the child, I would say to the child, I know that you have one of three options of excuses on your way back tomorrow. I say, you will either come to me saying that you lost it, or you will say that you forgot it, or you're going to say to me that your parents forgot to sign it. I go, I know you will say one of these. It's not rocket science that a child's going to say one of those three things. I told the child that if you come back with one of those excuses, no mercy, we will call your parents in class and tell them about the letter. And I told the kids that I will do this with one child just so that everybody knows that I'm telling the truth. I'm not just giving empty threats. This is for the discipline of everybody. Why is there a hellfire? So that everybody can be saved, inshallah ta'ala. And then that day will come when the child will say, "Teacher, I forgot." "Oh man, you didn't just say that, did you?" "Pull out my cell phone. What's your dad's number?" "He's at work." "No problem. What's your dad's number?" I'm like, "Nobody look at him. You know, it's a private conversation between him and his dad." And the child has to talk to his dad, telling him that I had a letter for you and I forgot to give it to you, or I inshallah tomorrow I'll give it to you. What grade is this? This is grade 3. This is grade 3. No problems. I had no discipline problems. Right? It's very systematic. And when you make, a threat, at least one kid has to be sacrificed so that no one will ever have to do that again. And then I could always tell the other people, see, I'm telling you today, how many kids did I do this with? And all together, I did it with 2 kids altogether. Maximum 2 kids. One other kid didn't learn the lesson, but they got it. Okay. So now understanding that, you just learned a good Islamic studies, you're in Islamic school, how to deal with kids. Now here, all the excuses of the people of hellfire is already known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're thinking that, oh, they're in hellfire, oh, give us another chance. Allah knows that they're going to ask for that. And we're reading it in the Quran that they're going to ask for that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, you're going to ask for another chance. This is your chance. You're alive, you're reading these verses, the messengers came to you, and they said that if you don't believe now, a time's going to come where you're going to say, give us another chance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Antaqula," on the day, or lest a soul should say, "Ya hasrata, ya hasrata." I would say that there's nothing, I remember I gave a khutbah on this, it reminds me, I don't have it here in my notes. There's nothing in the English language that can describe what hasrata means. And I read it in one of the tafsir books, it's like, to give you an example, like in English it's alas. That's the translation, alas. In one of the books, it gives the example of a person where, you know how like when a shepherd takes his sheep out, they're grazing and so on and so forth. If one sheep gets eaten, the person has to go back, I was sleeping, I lost one sheep. What about if this person sleeps and they've lost all the sheep? A wolf came, or a whole pack of wolves, and they ate every sheep. Everything was taken. And this boy coming back to his shepherd, not saying that one sheep was eaten, every single sheep was eaten. I have nothing left. He said, that's just, you're saying, ya hasrata. You're getting a little glimpse of what the Arabic word, what the connotations are. Ya hasrata. There's no regret other than this regret. Ala ma farrattu fi jambillah. Farrattu is to be negligent. Is to be negligent of Allah. So the person is saying to themselves, ya hasrata, in the deepest of regret of my neglectfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa in kuntu lamina sakhirin. And indeed, I was one of those who used to scoff or mock or was sarcastic. You know, and some people, oh, you're going to the masjid, oh, what are you going to be, a malvi? You're going to be a malvi, ha ha ha. And they were unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask yourself, when was the last time you read Qur'an? Was it Ramadan? When was the last time you fasted for the sake of Allah? Was it last Ramadan? When was the last time Qiyam al-Layl happened? When was the last time you truly concentrated in Salah? When was the last time when everybody was sitting in a dars and you walked out early? All these things that are, and now we're just talking about Muslims, the person still believing, what about the disbeliever? All the times other people were coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person just kept on being unmindful of Allah azza wa jal. In fact, Imam Shafi rahimahullah, a person, he would ask them in their old age, what they, ask questions about Islam, and when the person wouldn't know, Imam Shafi rahimahullah would get very angry, and he'd say a statement, he said, may you not be rewarded. He said, ضَيَّعْتَ نَفْسَكَ وَضَيَّعْتَ الْإِسْلَامِ. He said, you wasted your life and you wasted Islam. You've let it go. Like, how is it possible that all these years can pass by and the person doesn't know the basics of Islam? How much has passed by? Right? And even, and you have this example, if you have a group of elders, and I'm talking from youth to elders to middle age, you name it, and ask them, you know, who's going to lead the prayer? Just something as simple as that. Who's going to lead the prayer? Everybody's like, no, you lead the prayer. No, no, you lead the prayer. No, no, you lead the prayer. Because none of us know how to lead the prayer. None of us know how to lead the prayer. And then the person who does go to lead the prayer, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward him, and he's making mistakes in Surah Al-Fatiha. And then he'll read a surah, all these mistakes are happening, and so on and so forth. SubhanAllah, there's one community. This is the normal of many community, Muslim communities. All these years pass by, and just neglectfulness, totally of the Qur'an. Neglectfulness, totally of studying Islam. SubhanAllah, even I was thinking to myself, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, you know, some of the key players, the key companions, they were in the age group of the men that come for Jummah prayer for in our times. People that come for Jummah prayer, that target audience of Jummah prayer, is that was the normal age of the companions of Allah. And they're in their 40s, in their 50s, beside the Prophet ﷺ. Of course there's youth, of course there's females, but you're talking about like, and the key people beside the Prophet ﷺ were in the age group of the people, the age that normally comes for Jummah prayer. And now when we invite people to study Islam and so on and so forth, sometimes you don't even need to advertise at the Jummah because very few people come from the Jummah prayers. This is in our marketing for our classes and so on and so forth. Jummah prayers, we don't really look into it that much because it's been our experience that very few people from those who come for Jummah are the ones that want to study Islam. The people who want to study Islam might be some youth in a university somewhere. After they have liberated themselves from the control of their parents, that's when they want to study Islam. That's our target audience. And I say liberate themselves because if they were younger in high school, they just still don't want to study Islam. Try getting a group of high schoolers to study Islam seriously. Doesn't happen. Try getting people in their older age to study Islam. I'm not saying that they don't, but in a large scale they don't. And then the target audience is those people who have a little bit of money in their hands, they liberated themselves from their parents, they have a car, and now they realize, where have I been all these years? Ya hasrata. But they say it in the dunya, and so they go and study this deen now, when they have the opportunity. And so the people of hellfire, may Allah protect us, they're saying, ya hasrata, because of their neglectfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the things that would bring them closer to Allah azza wa jal. وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ They used to mock. أَوْ تَقُولَ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, or that a soul will say, lest a soul, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this cannot, don't come back on the Day of Judgment and say these things. أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ If only Allah had guided me. How many people have you said, you give da'wah to them, they're like, brother, inshallah, when Allah guides me, I'll be guided. If only Allah had guided me. Didn't the guidance come to... The person who is telling you this is your guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person is responding saying, when Allah guides me. This is your guidance. This is it. The khatib every Jummah is guiding the people. They're coming for Jummah. They're hearing people reminding them. The guidance is coming. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't come on the Day of Judgment and say, if only someone had guided me. Don't say that. لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابِ Or lest the soul shall say, don't say when you come and you see the hellfire, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ If only I had a chance to go back, that I would be amongst the believers. I know a lot of you are those who do good. You might be thinking, yeah, well, if I saw hellfire and I had another chance, I'd be a believer. After everything is said and done, when they're in hellfire, after living their lives, then they get another... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them in this dunya that don't come back and say that statement because it will avail you nothing. There is no second chance once in the hereafter. And then the verses continue, بَلَا indeed قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِ That indeed my verses did come to you. فَكَذَّبْتَ بِهَا And you disbelieved it. You said that it was a lie. وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ And you are arrogant. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ And you are one of the disbelievers. And so all these excuses are known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. The day when the zalim, the criminal, will bite their hands. Now a lot of it, this is not biting your fingernails, right? This is biting your hands. In fact, it's in tafsir that they'll bite it, and their mind is so away from what they're doing that they'll like eat their arm. And they won't even think about it.